Good morning. Welcome back. This is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. The man is back. How are you?
I'm well, healing very well and coming along nice.
All right. What where you been?
I had shoulder surgery beginning of January, so I've been laid up a little bit, but I have physical therapy, and I'm getting a full range of motion back, and not there yet. I won't pitch on opening day.
No, okay. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, very good. So we are back. I just want to mention that we've got a lot going on MSO News Sports, and we hope to have this program on a regular basis very soon. We're going to make a couple of changes to it, add some stuff, and try to make a little bit... Whoa, let me get that back here. I don't want to get that feedback. And again, try to get it out there on a more regular basis. But in the meantime, what do you have lined up for this morning?
Well, Kim Spanner is going to be our first guest. She's going to talk about the Polar Plunge, which is the seventh... running of it this a week from Saturday. Gloucester Rotary, in conjunction with District Rotary, puts that on to raise awareness and money to eradicate polio.
No, let's stop right there for 1 second. I read online, I think it was on Facebook, of course, Bucky Rogers is retiring as the president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank, and Bob Gillis is the new president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank, and I read some post where Bob Gillis will be plunging in a Speedo. Is that do you have that on file? Is that
I don't, but in past years he has plunged, so it's possible.
Okay, then we'll have to get cameras out there then.
Right. Okay, all right. Amanda Kesterson, who was chairwoman of the Republican City Committee in Gloucester, was appointed to position by Charlie Baker, the governor of Massachusetts. So she's going to talk a little bit about that position, as well as update us on what her views are of the initial days, of the inauguration, initial days of the Trump administration. And third guest is Sherry Sizek from the Beauport Motel and Cruise Port Enterprises. Going to be talking about some of those endeavors, as well as the upcoming bridal expose that we'll be having at, I think, Cruise Port this weekend.
All right. Sounds great. Sounds terrific. Okay. We've got a lot coming up, so please stay with us. And if you'd like to comment, send your comments along to msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, or
joshonald@verizon.net.
There you go. We'll be right back.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, sarkisiansports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our first guest is Kim Spanner. Kim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we usually start out and have us have a guest tell us a little bit about you, your background and your career and so forth, and then we'll talk about the good things you're doing with Rotary and the upcoming Polar Plunge.
Okay. I'm with Bank Gloucester. I've been here now coming up on my third year in July. I've been in banking most of my life out of college in 1982. So I've lived in Gloucester since 1997, joined the Rotary Club when I was with TD Bank, and that was in, oh my gosh, I'd say 8 years ago.
Okay.
And been enjoying doing the Rotary and the plungings. We've been doing that since 2010.
Great. Great. So you're chairwoman of the Polar Plunge Committee for the Gloucester Rotary Club. Tell us about the upcoming event and maybe a little bit about its history and what that involves.
Okay. Well, we're about to enjoy our 7th annual Polar Plunge this Saturday on February 4th at the Cape Ann Motor Inn in Gloucester at 11 o'clock. We expect, I think up to 250 folks that day, some plunging and some spectating. We have grown the amount since we started in 2010 of people coming from 35 plungers to now this 250, so it's pretty exciting for us. This event is started with Gloucester being the, I guess it was you and Steve Cady back in 2010 coming up with the idea.
Yeah, you know,
raising money.
We were at a district event, and Steve Cady came to me with this, you know, smirk, an idea that came up in a foundation meeting, and, you know, it was, we came up with something that's perfectly suited for you, and I knew I was getting conned into something, and it was, well, if you jump in the ocean, it could raise money for polio, and I said, well, I'm not going to jump in for $50, but if you can raise a substantial amount, and the Gloucester Club raised, I think, over $1,400 the first year.
Well, actually, it says the first year raised around $27,000.
Yeah, across the district there was $27,000. Okay. Gloucester people from Gloucester contributed $1,400 of that, but it was a good event. I went to the board of directors and asked them if we could sponsor it. So we, you know, picked up the tab for the tent and the coffee and donuts and the hot chowder and hot chocolate, and and Brad Pierce offered his hotel and had rooms for people to change in and so forth. And it was, you know, it was looked at then as a one-time event, and the idea was, you know, it's a fellowship thing, it's a fundraiser, and it's to make people aware that it's still an issue in some parts of the world, even though it doesn't happen so much in our backyard.
Well, the exciting thing is that because of this has been the polio raising, eradication of polio has taken a few years to grow. We're about three countries left. We've got Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria. And when it began, there was 125 countries and 350,000 people battling this disease.
Yeah.
So the Rotary Clubs have raised, with the help of Bill and Melinda Gates, over $1 billion to eradicate and reduce the countries that are affected. So it's pretty exciting.
When you,
you know,
see,
as little as 60 cents a donation makes a huge difference to changing a person's life, which is, it's pretty impacting when you think about it that way.
Yeah, when I went to PETS as a president-elect, they showed videos of the vaccination efforts of polio, but they showed the what they call the crawlers, the people in some of the countries you mentioned that walk on their hands, hands and feet, because of their impact of polio on them, and the conditions that generate polio, the lack of water, lack of sanitation, and so forth. So the efforts are certainly well appreciated, and I know that...
Well, it's made a difference. I mean, we went from raising, what, the district raised $57,000 in 82,000 in year three, up to over 103,000 in year four, 121,000 in year five. We had a nor'easter in year six. We still managed to raise 95,000 and get some people to run up to their shins.
Mm.
And so hopefully this weekend, next weekend, we'll have a mild, the tide's going to be perfect. Anyone who wants to watch us, there's a cam camera for people to look on. If they just go to the Cape Ann Motor Inn and look for the cam, they can watch us plunging. Anyone wants to pledge, they can go to the app mobilecause.com site and find the Gloucester Rotary team and pledge.
Great. And the, you know, the first year, it was a balmy, I want to say, 38 degrees out, and the water was about 36 degrees, and it didn't seem that bad to me going in. The following year, it was cold.
It was snowing.
Yeah.
And, I went in that year.
Yeah. Yeah, and the mistake we made the second year was we let people, everybody stripped down to what they were going to run into the water in, and then they let the dignitaries from Rotary and elsewhere give their speeches. So by the time you get the water, you were frozen anyway.
Yeah.
But
now we do that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Everybody plunges and we get out.
And there's a lot more goes into it because as the size of it increased, we still have the same place at Long Beach. So you now have to offload parking and arrange with a transportation company. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of logistics that go into this. We have to make sure that we have a place for people to come in and register, something to keep them warm. We have to portage on so that they're taken care of. We make sure there's ambulances on top and that there's insurance in place and everyone feels safe. Because of all of the growth in the amount of people, we have buses that go from our Good Harbor Beach location and drive them up to Long Beach because there's limited parking up there. So, and there's also music, and we have a huge flag, and it's just become a, like you said, a fellowship of Rotarians district-wide. It's just everyone participates and supports it. We have a district member who provides us T-shirts. Someone's providing us with a trailer as our tent, because last year, because of the nor'easter, our tent almost blew away. So we have a lot of people who are involved that are business people who support and provide a lot of what we need, but we've needed more and more and more. Now we have two-way walkie-talkies for people to make sure we have spotters, to make sure everyone's safe when they go in. Because the crowd's gotten so big, we have to really manage it better than we used to.
Wow, that's great. And I know that they had the ambulance, and my cousin at the time was working for a funeral home, and they were threatening to show up and so forth. But anyway, they that didn't come to pass. But she was there, Daruda-san. Yeah, I don't plunge anymore. I did it the first 3 years and then got vetoed at home. But I will be there as the polar bear to pose
so
with folks.
You're going to be our bear again. We were worried about you since you've just been recovering.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll be able to do that. I did the parade in Gloucester and Ipswich and Peabody this year around the holidays. But I'll be able to make
Excellent.
It. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Certainly wish you and the Rotarians the very best in this endeavor and keeping a tradition now. Used to call it the best winter beach party you'll ever attend.
Exactly. Well, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thank you, Kim. Take care.
Next Saturday.
Have a good day. Yeah, all right.
February 4th. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sauk Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SockEsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, SockEsian Sportswear is the place to go.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our next guest is Amanda Kesterson. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I noticed you got appointed to a position at the state level by Governor Charlie Brown. Can you tell us, congratulations first, and tell us about that position and how that came about?
Thank you. Yes, so the position is a member of the Child Advocate Advisory Board, which is a board which is comprised of officials from the administration who deal in child services in different areas, whether it's through the Department of Children and Families or through the foster care system or anything that is a state agency. There's officials that are on that board. But there are also three members of the public who are appointed by Governor Baker and that who have a background in child advocacy issues. And so the governor's office had interviewed me in the summer, and I submitted a resume, and we discussed my qualifications for different, potential boards, and ultimately they decided that I would be best served, best utilized on this board, and the governor appointed me. So I was really honored to have been asked to submit. They asked me to submit my resume for consideration, and I was very honored. And then, I went through the interview process, and last week on Thursday the 19th, I went into the state house and was formally. I went through the swearing-in ceremony. So it was very exciting, big honor.
And some of the things that this board becomes involved in are what?
Well, so they're an advisory board to the governor on issues regarding children. So, and again, I haven't had my first meeting yet. I just got sworn in. So,
okay. All right.
Forgive me if
that's fine.
But the idea is that when issues come up in the Commonwealth in regards to children and services that relate to children, this board reviews those issues, pieces of legislation or, objections to pieces of legislation or advocates who are, looking for funding for a certain area. We review it, and then we make a recommendation to the governor. And, of course, since many of the members on the board are dealing in these issues directly, the discussion helps them in their capacity, whatever that may be, to make decisions as well.
Great. Now, you've also, as chairwoman of the Gloucester Republican Committee, I'm sure have been monitoring the inauguration of President Trump and the early developments in his administration. And can you weigh in on that and tell us how you think it's going?
Sure. Well, it was a big day last Friday, yeah, watching President Trump be sworn in, and I was very proud. One of the things I think is the most remarkable about his election to the office is that, and I haven't completely fact checked this, but I believe it's true that he is the first president of the United States to have been elected who did not serve previously in political office and who did not come from the military. And I think that's he's really just from the people. He's a regular guy. Yes, a very wealthy one, but a regular guy who got elected president of the United States. And I think that's really extraordinary and historic, because when he spoke last Friday, he talked about this being about the people and giving government back to the people and the control back to the people. And I think that was a very important message. And I think what he's tried to do in the last week since he began this job is to follow through on his campaign promises as much as possible, and to start acting as soon as possible on some of these initiatives, which we know the wheels of government move very, very slowly. It's going to take a while to do some of these things. But he's in the first week come running out of the gate, okay, I said we're going to deal with Obamacare, we're going to deal with it. I said we were going to build a wall, we're going to build a wall. And he keeps going, which is, it surprises people, but I don't know why, because he's a man who has said what he was going to do, and now he's doing it.
Well, what I took away from some of the newscast were the business acumen that he was bringing to the equation. Had a group in, said, okay, let's reconvene in 30 days. I want a list of your suggestions before and an action plan on how is the best to proceed.
Right.
All right. When's the last time a president said that?
I know, a long time.
And so it's interesting in that regard. I found it interesting also that he had a picture, I think, put in the Oval Office of Andrew Jackson.
Really?
And Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, as he was referred to, was a rather dynamic and person. And you know, listening to some of the history programs, they others have compared him to Jackson. When Jackson beat John Quincy Adams for the president, it was this: oh, the world's going to end. Democracy as we know it is finished.
Right.
And it was the same kind of, it seems to be that it was the same kind of effect that the Democrats had when Bush was elected, when Trump was elected president. Strangely enough, and I don't know how many of our listeners know this, but the symbol of the Democratic Party came from Andrew Jackson. And it came when the a newspaper person referred to his policies as Jacksonian democracy, and they posted it on a donkey. Okay? A jackass, and it stuck. And from that point on, the donkey has been the symbol of the Democratic Party.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the reaction to Trump's presidency is very much what you described. It's like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I mean, people are beside themselves. And I think it's kind of, I mean, the sky is not falling. This is what democracy is. And this is what the people wanted. They wanted a change. They wanted a fresh look at what government is, because government's not working. It hasn't been working for the people, at least not in a way that has convinced the people that it's working for the people. And so that business acumen that Trump brings, the, you know, I'm here to do a job, I'm here to do the job for the American people. You are all working for the American people. Let's start doing your job. Let's get some stuff done. You know, let's stop getting things mired in the mud. It's not about the mud slinging. It's about getting things moving forward. And he's not really, you know, because he's not a politician, he's not impressed with all the rhetoric and all the, you know, craziness that happens in politics every single day. He's about getting it done, and I think that's what the people liked about him. So the sky is not falling. The world will keep going. America will progress, and I think it's my belief it's going to progress in a much more positive direction.
Well, I think that the thing that was attractive to some of the public was his willingness to step outside of the what you would consider the political norms of the day. And I've said this in discussion before on this show and elsewhere, that you know, when Tom Brady's suspension came up, Tom Brady, candidate Trump, or even maybe before he was a candidate, pick up the phone and said to Tom Brady, "I'd fight it. I wouldn't take that. I'd go take him to court."
Right.
Now, traditionally, if you're a politician, you stay the hell away from that kind of an issue, because it's like quicksand. You know, you're just going to get into. And he had no qualms about it. You know, Tom, he considered Tom a friend, and he gave him his best advice. That kind of willingness to stand up on an issue that most people would shy away from seemed to excite people.
Right.
And they rallied around that. I've been a little bit impressed with the way he's taking things on, not only what we see, but also what we don't see. Telling the Environmental Protection Agency, before you send out anything, you clear it through this office.
Right, which is actually a very business-oriented approach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not. It's funny because, of course, the reaction is, oh, it's a violation of free speech. No. You know, the government needs to have a cohesive understanding of what it's doing and not be throwing out contradictory statements all the time. And a businessman's approach to that is, let's figure out what's happening, let's make sure the statement is accurate, and then we will issue it. That's just good management. And unfortunately, for 8 years, we haven't had that. So the people who work in government, which, I mean, yes, we get a new president, but the staffers are the same, and they're not used to that. And so it's going to be a change for the people who work at the federal government. I mean, it's going to be different for them, because now someone's in charge. You're saying, we're going to run this like a business, like what we do in the private sector. I mean, you wouldn't imagine that the CEO of a massive corporation is going to allow you know, individual departments to just randomly tweet out what's going on without clearing it through management first. I mean, that's not how it happens, because obviously there's a public perception issue when you're dealing in business, and you want to make sure that from a public relations standpoint, people are getting a message that's correct and accurate, and that you don't have some disgruntled employee doing something crazy. So it should be no different in the government.
Well, if you play the tape back, the in history, and this isn't something that's new for the last 8 years, even going back to the Eisenhower and Kennedy administration, you had departments that acted as their own entity. They were their own fiefdom. And Kennedy had trouble with the CIA and the FBI. He had trouble with the Pentagon. The right. Pentagon wouldn't share information with him. The CIA would tell him one thing and do something different. That over time seemed to change, but more recently it looks like maybe it hasn't changed as much as we had thought or hoped.
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's a part of, you know, people's personalities. They get some power, and they want to maintain that power in their own area, in their own sphere. And if they're allowed to do that in the government, then they're going to want to keep doing it. And they're going to push back against attempts to take that control and that power away from them. But the federal government, and any government, state government, local government, I mean, the whole hierarchy of management, it's akin to a business, except that too many government officials who get elected to these positions have no business experience and have no clue how to manage and keep order and keep things progressing forward. Because they're not a profit-oriented business, they don't worry about that. But Trump doesn't come from that background. He comes from a profit-oriented background. He knows what it means to make something productive and efficient. And so he's going to apply those skills to our government, which has really needed it. And it's going to be painful for some people, and that's just the reality. But that's what the people of America wanted when they elected him. He went out there and he said, this is who I am, this is my background, and this is what I'm going to do, and Americans voted for him, and now that's what he's doing. So I admire his feistiness, and I admire the fact that he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
There was it was time when you're on the show last year, and after the show was over, Rick Moore, the station owner, turned to me, and he posed a question that I hadn't really given any prior thought to, and that was, do you think Donald Trump's tweets are all Donald Trump's, or do you think he has someone that, you know, has his account and chooses to tweet? And I really hadn't given that a lot of thought until then, and since then, have given a bit more thought, it's a question I throw out in general. But the other thing I would ask or suggest is, how relevant are the tweets? Are the tweets more or less relevant than they're made out to be? And here where I'm going with that, I liken the tweets to a certain extent like the shell game at a carnival. Which one is the ball under? And if you're focusing on the tweet or the shell that has the ball in it or doesn't have the ball in it, okay, you're missing what is going on. So the tweet, I'm premise of my mind is, When we're arguing about should he have tweeted this or should the account have tweeted that, we ought not be looking at the tweet, but what else is going on that day or the day before the day coming.
Yeah, I think he figured out very early on. Well, I think, okay, so the first part of your question was, do I think it's all him or do I think he has somebody doing it in addition? I think it's probably a combination.
Okay.
And I think that he uses tweets to convey information. You know, I think he has something like 30 million Twitter followers. So he has a big audience, and he can get a lot of information out in 140 characters to a lot of people. It's a very effective communication tool. But I agree with you. I think he figured out very early on. I mean, he got free media throughout the entire campaign. They would follow him around just to see what he was going to do. And so I think he
got billions of dollars of free advertising.
Exactly. I mean, he barely spend any money on commercials because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly smart, and he figured out very early on, in my opinion, look, all I have to do is send out 140 characters, and they're going to talk about that all day long on the news. Yeah. and people are going to scrutinize what it means, whether I should have said it or whether I hadn't, and I can do, and then I can keep going on my campaign and making my speeches and doing my huge rallies. And I think he figured out very early on how to work the media. He knew the media was not going to give him a fair shake, so he decided that he would use the tools in his toolbox to play the media. And he did it very, very effectively, and he's still doing it.
Daily in Chicago, back in the 60s, it made the comment that I don't care what they say about me as long as they spell my name right.
Exactly.
And he knew that, you know, that as long as his name was in front of the public, he was on top. And it worked, and you know, he would back people and so forth, and people were afraid of him, and you know, it was, but he was that was the way he approached it. He caught on to that, the media, and early on, and was able to take it to his advantage in those days. Few more minutes, then we'll have to go to our next guest. What do you make of his what he's done so far, and what do you see around the corner?
Well, I think that what he's done so far is make his list of priorities that he had established during the campaign, and he's going through that list, and he's enacting them, whether it's by executive order, whether it's by starting the process of creating legislation, you know, for example, with the wall. He's going to build the wall, but he's going to start the process now and figure out how it's going to get paid for and how we're going to get reimbursed from Mexico, and he's going to do all that. It's going to take a while, but his immediate goal was to get the ball rolling. Same with, you know, the Obamacare. You know, he campaigned. He said it's a disaster and we need to work on it. Well, you can't undo it in a day, so he started the process. But these are all things he established during the campaign. I think what we're going to see from Donald Trump is, I think his method is, first 100 days, he's going to be very definitive on all of his goals for 4 years. He's going to spell them out and he's going to be specific on them. And then he's going to work diligently to make them happen, so that when he runs for re-election, he can say, I told you 4 years ago I would do this, I immediately worked on it, I did it, and now here I am running for re-election. So I think that's what we're going to see from him.
Okay, and what about the cabinet posts, positions? Some of those are seeming to drag on, and for what? What do you, and there's a belief out there that the role of the Democrats at this point is to be obstructionist and to find ways to slow him down, to derail him. Do you agree with that?
I think that that's their goal. I'm surprised that Republican leadership is allowing that to happen. I mean, the Republicans do have a majority in the Senate and in the House. There's really no reason for this. And Harry Reid had passed, when the Democrats were in power, the nuclear option that they can vote on 50, you know, with 51 votes. So I don't really know why it's dragging on. I don't accept that. I think there may be a bigger backstory to it, which is, as long as everyone's focused on these cabinet appointments, which are ultimately, they're going to be approved.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the, you know, ultimately, but as long as everyone's focused on, you know, Elizabeth Warren asking questions of these people or whatever, as long as the media is focused on that, Donald Trump can get into the Oval Office and get the ball rolling on the things he wants to do, and the focus is elsewhere. Same sort of idea. So
okay.
That's the only thing I can think of as a possibility for why, because I really don't see why it's being allowed by Republican leadership to keep going. I think Republican leadership needs to step up, get the people confirmed, and get, you know, start working for the American people and stop with the back and forth.
And the Dow closed at 20,000 the other day, which was first time in history. People thought that after Clinton lost the election that the economy was going to tank, and it's done the opposite.
Well, right, because, you know, business people and people who invest understand that they now have a friend in the White House as opposed to an enemy. I mean, I think, you know, the market responds to political turmoil. You know, whatever's happening on the political scene does affect the market and vice versa. But we are stable now because the election is over, someone's in the Oval Office, and it's not just somebody, it's somebody who understands the market because he lives it. So, I mean, you're going to see, I think you're going to, you know, see things climb, and I think we're going to have a period of a lot of prosperity. And
do you think in day-to-day,
but because of the trust that the business community and the economic community is going to place in his abilities to make good economic and sound fiscal decisions for the country.
Do you think that in day-to-day operations and administration, there's that anyone says, what's that going to do to the market? What's going to happen to the market tomorrow if we do this? Do you think that's something that plays out to any level of significance?
I think he's programmed that way. So okay. I think that the people he's put underneath him to you know, make decisions are going to be programmed that way too. And I think that that's always going to be a factor. But what he understands, because he's in that world, is the market's going to go up and down. You stay the course. Ultimately, the market, you know, over the course of history, the market's always gone up. You know, it does go up and down. It deviates as the days go on. But just if you look at the track, it's steady upwards. And so I think he understands that, you know, we're going to do things and there's going to be an effect. But overall, as long as we're doing the right things, it's going to be a positive effect in the end. So he's understanding that. I think he'll always think of it because that's how he's programmed.
Well, I was interested in his discussion about health. One of the pieces of health care, he was critical of the pharmaceutical industry of racking up huge profits. And he said, hey, look, if we can cut the cost of medicine, then that's that much less that we're spending on Medicaid that are going to the profits of the pharmaceutical companies that can be used elsewhere or can help more people who need Medicaid.
Right.
And we haven't been willing to even broach that argument for the past 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, because his background and his resume is about running businesses. He looks for ways to do that more effectively and to, you know, spend less money and line the pockets of, well, previously his business, but now it'll be the pockets of the American people as opposed to, you know, rich, you know, investors in these industries. I mean, he's very clear on what his purpose is sitting in that office, and it's to make sure that this country, the people of this country, are wealthier at the end of it and happier and safer. That's his goal. He's going to find a way on any topic, the way you just described, to make that happen, to
Great.
Get more people better treatment at a lower price.
Super.
And he's going to do that because that's what he's always done. That's why he was successful in business.
Well, great. I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and wish you well in your new appointment. And we'll see you at Rotary.
Absolutely. Bye, Josh. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat.
game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our guest is Sherry Sizek. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Josh. It's nice to be here again.
Great. Now, I know you're off in Florida, but I wanted to take some time to chat about your business endeavors. Last time we had you on, you were talking about the opening of a hotel. It's open, and it seems to be doing very well. Tell us about about the opening and how it's going.
Well, the opening was very exciting, Josh. Of course, we were under the gun because we got the occupancy permit 3 days before we were going to open. So it was a challenge to train up 250 people to work there in short amount of time. However, we had some great management that pulled us through. We were bombarded in the beginning. Everybody wanted to see the hotel. And then after about 3 or 4 weeks, I saw it smoothed. We smoothed it out, and it was great. And from then on, we've been great. Every weekend, even now, we're 100% occupancy rate, which is great. We have a lot of weddings, a lot of conferences are coming in. So we're really excited about everything. It's really going well. I'm really proud of the work the team has put in to make this so successful. It's been great.
Well, I had the good fortune to go to an event this past fall, and sitting at our table was the architect for the hotel, and I asked him the question. I said, "Did you study?" It seemed to me that you had to have studied the architecture of Gloucester, and even to the extent of looking at the hotels that were all here 100 years ago. And he said, "We absolutely did." To include that into our design, our schematics, and in our design. And I was impressed by that, actually.
Me too. The team that was Olson and Lewis architects.
Yep.
And I think you might have spoke to John.
Yeah.
John, Olson, and he, he's from Manchester, but he knows a lot about the Gloucester. And what I like about him is he took the history of Gloucester and tried to incorporate the hotel so that it looked like it's been there for a lot of years.
If you look at if you look at some of the photo albums that were put out in the 70s of old Gloucester and the hotels and motels that were Magnolia, the Back Shore, Niles Beach, Bass Rocks, you could see some of the similarities.
Right. He put on, for instance, on the outside, I know that he really wanted to put on cedar shingles so that it was, an older type of look to the hotel, and some great designs to that hotel. So
great.
I'm really proud of the what he did. And then also the interior was done by Peter Nemeth. And Peter incorporated the pictures. I don't know if you've been in there to see the pictures of
yes.
the fishermen.
Yeah,
And he bought the license from the Cape Ann Museum to buy all of those pictures that are in every room. And some of the pictures, the locals have come up to me and said, "That's my grandmother hanging clothes on the on the clothesline." And I'm like, "Wow, it's really amazing that." Like that would be my grandfather, So
yeah.
I'm getting some great feedback from the locals who know who the fishermen are in those pictures.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now you
I like the also the millwork they put in. That's my favorite. It looks more like so nautical.
Yeah.
The millwork they did. So they did a great job.
You have one of your enterprises has the bridal expo coming up. Is it this weekend?
Yes, that's the busiest day of oh my God. We do probably 1,000 to 1,200 brides come through. We do it at cruise port, and we take up the entire building, and then we also take up the whole boat with vendors. So a bride can come through and see, 15 to 20 photographers, cake, the wedding cake bakeries, you know, they get to see all the DJs and, you know, everything to do with a wedding is, you know, fashion shows. We have all day going, tastings, you know, food tastings. We have bands playing, you know, and both on the ship and also inside the facilities. And it's really exciting for somebody that's engaged.
Yep.
To come in and to see all of what they can do. And it's great for us to bring in our partners that we work with, all the outside vendors that come in and showcase their talents, which I'm so proud of, the North Shore talents that are out there. It's really phenomenal. I really am very proud of it.
And how many people anticipate will run through either building or the ship?
We have about 900 to 1,200 people that sign up with us.
Okay.
So it's you know, some people don't come, some people, you know, most people do come. We have trolleys running back and forth to the hotel to showcase that this year, but we're bringing the hotel down to the cruise port to have a table this year, because we've done it every year at cruise port, and it's a well-oiled machine, and it takes a lot of organization to pull that off. So we wanted to do it, still continue it at cruise port. And by the way, we put a lot of money into cruise port. After doing the hotel, I looked at the cruise port. I said, I was a little tired, need some painting and stuff. So we put in some new bars and new, repainted the, well, Josh, you know, because you're in Rotary, right?
Yeah.
Seen a little bit of the work. So we've done some.
Yeah, we've been moved around to accommodate the painters on different occasions. Sometimes we're up, but sometimes we're down.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's fine.
Okay, you know, so what we did for, I know we had to move Rotary upstairs, I believe, but we did some painting and some, you know, some really nice polishing up. And all the seaport, we put in acoustics, which that was always too noisy in there. And we put in some Bose system music, and it really made a difference in cruise port, just putting that in. We put in new hardwood floors. And of course, new bars, bathrooms. We did all the bathrooms. We did over everyone. So that's really spruced up, and it's made me very happy because that's my baby, you know.
Yeah. So, well, it's funny you said that. I didn't realize that you. It makes sense now. But the last time I was upstairs, I said, you know, the acoustics seem so much better here now. And I thought, well, maybe it's my hearing, or maybe it's you know, it wasn't that bad before, and I'm getting better, or I don't know. But it did. I did notice a change.
Yeah, we put all the ceiling tiles in, a new ceiling acoustics. So it really tones down everything to a great level, you know? So I didn't think I noticed it at all, and I was disappointed because it really was a big paycheck to put out there, right? But on Saturday night I was in there, and I was sitting at the bar having a cocktail and dinner with the locals, and I said, holy moly, this is fantastic.
Yeah, you do notice it.
When there was a lot of people in there, I noticed it. It was great.
Yeah, great.
I'm really happy about that.
So what else do you have going among your enterprises? You had a good year with the ship, and I assume that's going to be starting up again spring, summer? Or?
Yeah, well, Valentine's Day, we do Valentine's Day night dinner cruise, you know, with champagne toast for the couples, you know.
Oh, wow.
So we do that on Valentine's. I think that's the 11th this year. It's a Saturday night. And then the next day we do a Valentine's Day brunch on the boat. So that's the next time it goes out. And then it goes out for St. Patrick's Day in March. And then around after Easter we start up every day again with the Princess. So that's kind of exciting. So that's the schedule for that. And then We actually have quite a few cruise ships coming in this year. We just booked, I think, 14 extra cruise ships coming in, but they're small cruise ships, but they're still, you know, pretty good. They're 500 passengers and up coming into the dock. So that's quite busy dock next fall. That's starting in the September, October, November next year.
Wow.
I'm just trying to nail down the contracts with them. So that's been coming at me this week a little bit.
So 14 more than this year than last year?
Yeah, 14 came at us, a brand new contract at us this year. It's American Cruise Lines, but it's a new, brand new boat, and it's bigger than the boats they have been bringing in. So, and the other one is the Victory, and they want to come in, I think, 8 times. But I only have 5 dates open that because of the other cruise ship coming in. So we're going to try to move around those other 3 dates to see if we can get all 8 of those in. But I haven't finished the contract with them, so I don't want to really put 100% guarantee on that.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And how many, and all of those people end up coming into Gloucester to in Cape Ann to buy things and visit tourist sites and so forth.
Yeah, and you know what? It's really working out well because we have a great team, you know, volunteer team, as well as, you know, Jeannie Hennessy. I know you know her.
Yeah.
Jeannie's been great with tourism. She's going to every meeting, and she really helps us out on getting the guests to where they want to go. In other words, a museum, to restaurants, to, you know, parks, to the beaches, to wherever they want to go. She's great with that. So, I have a great, you know, team now. Believe it or not, I can't even believe I'm saying this, I have a marketing person. I went from nothing to a marketing department. But anyway, she does social media as well as all the ads, and she helps us market all the businesses together, you know. And I don't know if you know this, Josh, but we are opening up a Boston restaurant, and it's called Rail Stop, and that's going to be opening up in May 1st in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And so we just hired the general manager. He is working now at the Beauport Hotel training, and his name is Josh Menderes. He's from the Fall River area. He's a great guy. So if you want to go in and meet him, he's a lot of fun.
Okay.
And he's a history buff too. So.
Oh, okay.
So he's really going to be great. And we just hired the 2 chefs that are going to work in the kitchen. I just need to get this, you know, another couple of managers, and we're off and running with that one.
Great.
But, that's my next endeavor. But if you haven't seen me around Gloucester, I had to buy the liquor license and go to the liquor boards and do permitting. So I've been really into the Boston part of it. But my heart belongs to Gloucester, and it always will. And every time I go over that bridge, I just smell the sea air, and I just am so happy I live there.
Great.
I mean, really, you know. So
that's wonderful. All right,
you know that about me. So.
No, I do. We got a couple of minutes left. Anything else you want to share with us?
Let me think. No, the hotel, like I said, the hotel has been much better than I thought it would in the off season. You know, I always think of January and February as the sidewalks close up and there's nobody around. But actually, it's what we're getting a lot of outside business still coming in. Romantic getaways. We're having, you know, we call. Home for the holidays. We
sure.
That. You know, we decorated really nicely.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
So we got a lot of people, you know, a lot of families bring in out, you know, their families from out of state, and they usually stay at their homes, but we actually had them staying at the hotel this year, which was quite nice. So what we did, you know, I have to give my staff credit, you know, they were funny that we had a lot of families, and every child had things to put out for the reindeers, and cookies to put out beside their door for Santa.
Yeah.
And we also had a gift for them at the door when they woke up in the morning. So I really think that we went over and above this holiday season to service families that were coming in from outside of the city. And we got a lot of raves about it, and I think it's going to be the place to come at Christmas time, you know?
Sure.
That was cool.
This
was my first holiday open for Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
We all closed down on Thanksgiving and Christmas at Seaport, and we stayed open, and actually we sold out. And I was really surprised that so many people go out for Thanksgiving dinner. I always think of it as you cook at home, but we had so many reservations. It was unbelievable. So that was exciting to see. And, of course, we were open for Christmas, and that was sold out, too, you know, with the guests that were staying at the hotel, you know, ate in the restaurant.
Sure.
The restaurant is great. I'm really proud of the chef that is there, Michael Bates Walsh, his name is, and he's been with me since we started, and he's done a great job. And we have a great kitchen staff and a great bar staff. You know, Jack's there, Jack Manise.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Jack. So Kayla Riley, Jack Manise. So we're excited that, you know, we can give Gloucester this nice facility.
Great.
I really
want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and wish you the very best in your future endeavors, and very, very wish you very well with the bridal shower this weekend.
Oh, thank you, Josh. Thanks so much, and call me anytime.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye.
Your shoulder hold up okay?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
okay,
yes, we're good.
From dialing in all those phone calls, very good. Okay, now I know that you have a lot of contacts, and you probably have made contact with a few people, so maybe you could dangle a few names out there of future guests.
I wish I could. I had a list printed out, and I don't have it in front of me, and I can't tell you. But I have a woman who's going to does a marketing thing with illuminating lights. Luma Arts, she's out of Boston-based business, but she resides in Essex, and she's going to be on the show, I believe, in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a couple other people, some from some social and health care services that are going to be on, we'll be talking with them. And then I have some people who will, elected officials in other communities who want to be on, and we're just trying to schedule them in.
All right, and don't forget to check the website for news, information, sports, and sports broadcast. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. That's Josh Arnold. We'll be back next Friday with another Trending Now.